in your, ooh, Lord. Let's begin. Hallelujah. I got a little something for you. Hebrews 10:26. And I'm going to read just a little bit. We might just cover one point tonight and then turn you loose. The Bible says here in 10:26, for if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sorer punishment, suppose ye, shall ye be thought worthy, who had trodden under foot the Son of God, and had counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and had done despite unto the Spirit of grace. For we know him that had said, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Come on, give God some glory for his word. Amen. All right. Father, we pray you bless your word and just fill up me, your servant, with your spirit. I pray I decrease and you increase. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Saints of God, we've been Hebrews, and remember, the book of Hebrews is just all about us as God's people remembering, amen, to stay connected in the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, to not go back to the law, to not go back to the old covenant, but to stay in the new covenant, to stay in Yahshua HaMashiach. Last time we were here, amen, we talked about Hebrews 10, verse 26, amen. And the topic we were covering was apostasy. Somebody say apostasy. All right? And just to familiarize you about apostasy, apostasy is the intentional falling away or withdrawing away from the faith. Is the intentional falling away or withdrawing away from the faith. Apostasy is the sin of our age, y'all. It's the sin of the last days. And as time progresses and we get closer and closer to coming to our Lord's return, amen, we will see apostasy like we've never seen it before, all right? Are you understanding what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church tonight? We're going to see it, amen, in an accelerated, exponential way among the Gentiles, but we'll see it among some of the Hebrews as well, amen. Because some of the Hebrews don't follow Hebrews, they follow Gentiles, amen? And they're going to follow them straight and falling away. Are you hearing me right now? All right? And so somebody say falling away. All right, it's the sinner's days. And we talked about it in 1 Timothy 4 when it says, the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the last days some shall depart from the faith. Amen. And so, hallelujah, this message, we had 3 points. We covered one, but we had three. Amen. The first point, description of apostasy. The second point is the doom of apostasy. And the third point is the folly of apostasy. We covered the first, gave us a description of apostasy. Amen. And we just looked at, amen, verse 26, and we just describe apostasy, amen, is when we reject the gospel, all right, after Jesus Christ has been evidently shown unto us. We reject it. And we go back to living in willful sin after knowing the truth. That's apostasy. When we intentionally, deliberately, habitually go on sinning after we know the truth. Amen. And we gave you some examples of that. We talked about King Saul. We talked about Demas. And we gave you, amen, the proverbial Judas Iscariot. Amen. He is the greatest example of apostasy. Amen. Now, you got to understand, me as your pastor, I don't believe that an apostate ever was saved. But that's just me. Amen. There's some who believe that they were saved and they can lose their salvation. And you can find some scriptures, amen, where you could see that. That's just not my systematic theology. Amen. I believe, as John says, amen, they went out from us because they never was of us. Amen. And so, amen, and I believe that when he changes us into a new creature, we are changed, amen. And we're not going to go back to habitual, continual sin because, as John said, his seed is in us, amen. A sheep amen, cannot act like a pig, no matter how a sheep try to act like a pig, amen, because the nature has changed, amen. And so, hallelujah, that's just my systematic theology. So we began to talk about why would someone ever commit apostasy, amen, after seeing Christ crucified, after being enlightened, after understanding, after even being a member of a church, being baptized, amen, hallelujah. What would cause a person to apostatize? And we gave you three reasons. We gave you tribulation and persecution. We also gave you temptation. And we also talked about false teachers. And all of that is going to be greatly amplified in the last days that we're living in. False teachers are going to wax worse and worse. Amen. Persecution is coming back around. Tribulation. Amen. And temptation is on a whole nother level. And so tonight, amen, since we talked about the description of apostasy, I want to talk about the doom of apostasy, all right? What happens when people come to church, see the truth, know the truth, but still reject Christ and go after the world and go after the devil? What happens to them? But the Bible tells us in verse 26, it says, "For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth," watch this, "there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins." There remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. And going into 27, "but a certain fearful looking for of judgment, fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries." So, all right, let's look at it. The writer of Hebrews says, if we reject Christ and we willfully sin, deliberately, continually, habitually, and we turn our back on the gospel, the writer says this, "there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins." All right? And I like what John MacArthur says here. J. Mac says, amen, that when you come this close to God, come this close to the gospel, when you come this close to the real truth and the real church, and then turn around and reject him, J. Mac says that you could possibly be in a place where you are beyond salvation. Where you are beyond salvation. When you've come this close to Christ and turn your back on it, amen, you could very well get to a place where you're beyond salvation, right? And what does J. Mac mean right here, all right? I've given you the example before at Philadelphia, amen. When the gospel is being preached and when you're in church, amen, the word of God warms your heart. Amen. The two men on the Emmaus Road, they say, "Did not our hearts burn within us as he walked with us along the way?" Amen. And he talked with us along the way. That's the presence of God. All right. Jeremiah said his word was in me like what? Like fire shut up in my bones. I couldn't explain it, Jeremiah said, but there was a heat on the inside of me. And all I could say, it felt like fire. Anybody felt fire in their chest before? Anybody heart ever been on fire when the word was going out before? Amen. And that's the kind of church you want to look for. You want to look for the fire. Because our God is a consuming fire. Anybody hear me up in here? And that the Holy Ghost comes and he baptizes us in the spirit and in fire. So that fire is what you're looking for. All right? But the fire can also be dangerous. All right? The fire can also be dangerous. Okay? It can be dangerous if you're playing with God. All right? It can be dangerous if you're playing with God. You see, because the word, the job of the word is to heat our heart to a place when we're ready. To make us ready. It's like the Holy Ghost got us in a Holy Spirit oven when we're in church. All right? And God trying to get us ready. All right? Well, what is he trying to get us ready for? He's trying to get us ready to surrender to him, to live for him, to believe in him. And we just come to the altar one day and we say, "God, that's it. I'm done. I want to serve you. I want to love you." So that fire is to get us ready. All right? The problem is, if you come to church week in and week out, Tuesday after Tuesday, all right, and you're in the presence of that fire, and you let that fire get you ready, get you ready, get you ready, and then you just run back and turn. No, I don't want him. Every time you come back to church, it's harder to get you ready. Are you with me here so far? All right? Tony Evans used to describe it as, amen, if you ever saw like a forest fire sweep through a particular area, all right? Every now and then they'll leave a stump or a tree, all right? And everything else is burnt up around it, but you'll see a stump, all right? And that stump will last, amen, till the forest, amen, is revived and trees all around it again. And guess what's going to happen again? If it's not thinned out, fire, you're going to come back right back. So when the fire came the first time, it'll burn that stump to where it's hot and glowing. That stump is going to glow with heat. It's going to be burning, y'all. All right? But when the fire goes, the stump will still be there, but it's charred, it's burnt from the fire. TP, when the fire come back again, that second fire got to be hotter than the first one. To bring that tree stump back to where it's hot and glowing. Are you with me here so far? So you come to church and the word is good and the presence is there. And it heats your heart. But like that old stump, amen, you ain't gave your life to Christ. In order for God to bring you back to that place where you're just about to repent, the fire got to be hotter. Are you with me here so far? But Mike, the problem is with the old tree stumps. After so many years of fires passing, so many Sundays, so many sermons, so many tears in church, but no real repentance. It can only happen so many times. When that old tree stump, after several forest fires, a forest fire could come through and it just stay there. Unmoved. It don't even warm up no more. All the other trees on the side of it burning, white hot, glowing, amen. But this stump still charred, burnt, black. Fire have no effect on it. I got bad news for you. See, you got some that been in church so long, done heard so many sermons, done cried so many times, to where they just like that stump that's in that forest. They charred, burnt, they numb, huh? Paralyzed to the spirit of Almighty God. To a place, like John MacArthur says, where, hallelujah, they almost beyond the point of salvation. They've rejected Christ so much, hallelujah, to where it's like this. There remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. They can't be brought to that place again. Pastor, why are you telling us that? Don't ever come to church and sit in church with your heart cold and hard like a rock. Don't ever do that. If you see yourself in church and other people weeping, other people crying, other people being touched, you're in a dangerous place tonight. You got a cold stone in your chest. And the Holy Ghost can't warm it no more. He can't warm it, amen, because you done played with God too much. He done brought you to that altar too much, brought you to that conviction too much, amen. And you turn right back out and you just, no, I'm going to do me. I'm going to keep doing. A time is going to come where the Holy Ghost can't warm you no more. All right? There's another group in here. All right? You take God's word for granted. You sit up in Philadelphia, amen, and the prophetic anointing is here. We are a revival church, amen. God has given us revelation and messages, amen. He's separating the people unto himself. But you done sat up in here, and you done fell out with certain people up in here. You done fell out and with leaders up in here. You done been offended maybe even by me up in here. And that offense has turned your heart into a cold, hard stone. And I can't get the word of God to you. I can't preach heaven into you because you're worried about a bottle of water I didn't give you. Or a decision I made about some bathrooms. Or a decision I made in basketball or baseball or football. And you worried about that, sitting there cold, stone cold. Because you done let aught slip in. Now I'm in the prophetic now. I'm just going, I got a word for you. You're in a dangerous place. You're in a very dangerous place. You're in a very dangerous place. That's why Jesus said, man, if you got aught before your brother, listen, don't even go to the altar. Go make up with your brother. Go talk to him. Sit down with him. Look, I was feeling some kind of way. I'm sorry. But don't bring that stuff into the house of God. Don't bring that stuff into the service of God. Don't bring that stuff into when the word is going forward and worship is going forward. Because while the fire of the Holy Ghost is burning in you, you're burning in here, you sitting here black, charred, stone cold. Unmoved, there remained no more sacrifice for sins. You see, that's what the apostate is operating in. That's what the apostate is operating in. You see, and I pray to God that that's not you. I pray that you just have ought. You a believer, but you just got ought you got to deal with. That's what I'm praying for, and that'll be great because you're just missing words and not eternity. But I don't know about you, I wouldn't want to miss a word, all right? I wouldn't want to miss a word. Because in a word, Kim, is the answers that we come for. The wisdom and the witty inventions that'll get us to another level, another place, all right? So I wouldn't want to miss a word, huh? Huh? I used to pray, amen, Lord, don't let a single word fall to the ground. You know? Because that's what it is. All right? It's like we throwing God's word out. But in front of some people's seats, it's falling to the ground. All right? Let's keep going. Going back to the apostate. You see, in 27. So the apostate is somebody who's rejected the Lord so much, played church so much, to where they're unmoved in the service now. Unmoved. God can't bring them to that place. So they almost beyond the place of salvation. So what does the apostate have to look forward to? Verse 27 tells us. When you get to that place, all you have to look forward to is a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. Three things in this verse. All right? Three things that the apostate has to look forward to. First thing, the Bible says, a certain fearful looking, right? The NLT, I love the way it puts it. It talks about it in these terms. There is only the terrible expectation. Stop right there. The apostate has to live with the fact that hell is coming. That hell is coming. They have a terrible expectation, right? And every lost person has that expectation. I remember when I was lost, I'd have dreams of judgment. Anybody used to have dreams of judgment day? Huh? Everything be on fire. You understand what I'm saying? That's the terrible expectation. All right? But the apostate is worse. I was having those dreams, Jen, when I didn't know too much about God. But the apostate is the person, remember, they have the truth in their head. They sitting in church. They might be a minister here. So the expectation of hell is greater for them. Because when they get to hell, they're going to be able to take people on a tour. Come on over here. My pastor told me about this spot. This is here. And this is. Somebody say a terrible expectation. Right? And that's not good. When you know something bad is coming, that's torment. All right? All right? You know they're going to have to pull that tooth. That's torment. All right? Well, the apostate knows deep inside that they're on their way to hell. All right? A terrible expectation. Not only that, a certain fearful looking for what? Of judgment. So the apostate gets to look forward to a terrible expectation, but also the judgment. All right? The judgment is when they look eye to eye with God. And God tell them, listen, you was in church every Sunday. You knew the word of God. You lived with that wife who was saved. You was in the same bed with that husband who was on fire for the Lord. Huh? Y'all shared the same McDonald's cup sometimes. That's how close salvation was to you. But the Bible said in the last days, two shall be in the same bed. One shall be taken, the other one shall be left. That's how judgment is. That's how judgment is. And that's how salvation has to be. You don't get saved by being married to a certain person. You don't get saved by somebody being your mama or your daddy. You don't get saved by your daddy being pastor this or minister that. You don't get saved by that. You don't get saved by being a member of Philadelphia Christian Church. No. You don't get saved by having my number or being able to text me. That don't save you. Pastor Omar Tebow is not the Savior. You understand what I'm saying? Jesus, Yahshua, is the Savior. You being this close to salvation is only going to be a bad judgment for you. Because they're going to tell you you was that close. All right? That's like you dying of a disease with the antidote in your pocket. That's how salvation is. And God going to tell you salvation was close to you. It was even in your lips. Because while they was praying it at Philadelphia, you was in the house. All you had to do was open your mouth and say it. It was as close as your lips, but you didn't say it with all of your heart. It was as close as your lips. Could you imagine that? Going to spend eternity in hell, and you was in the place where they was praying the salvation prayer? And I'm not going to say it. Or I'm not going to mean it. I don't believe this part of it. That's what the apostate got to look forward to. A terrible expectation is coming. The judgment. And then he says here, fiery indignation. So after living with the anxiety of hell coming, standing and meeting the Creator face to face, then finally comes the fiery indignation. You see, Pastor, what's fire and indignation? Hell, the lake of fires. Who's going to be that? The adversaries. Who's the adversaries? Satan, Lucifer, all the angels, and every man, woman, and child who wanted to be with the devil instead of God. That's what the apostate got to look forward to. And I hate to say it, y'all, but Judah's going to be that. Judah's going to be that. Judah's going to be there. Mike, when I was in Bible study when I was a kid, I never forgot a story that one preacher said. I was a kid, man. He said one day they saw a vision. Somebody saw a vision of Judas in hell. And besides all the torment that he was going through, he could never stop washing his hands. Because for eternity, the blood of the Messiah was on those hands. I got to wash my hands. Somebody say fiery indignation. That's what the apostate got to look forward to. Verse 29, look what it says. Of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy, who had trodden underfoot the Son of God. What this verse is, I think I skipped one. Go to 28. Go back to 28. I don't want to skip a thing, man. Look, 28. It says, he that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. And what they're doing right here, Philly, they're making a comparison. All right? Watch this, Bridget. The writer of Hebrews is saying, don't get it twisted. The old covenant, people who despise, the Hebrew word, the Greek word right here means to reject, to refuse. The people who rejected and refused what? Moses' law. What happened to them? They died without mercy in the old covenant. All right? And what God is saying is, if they died for rejecting the old covenant, what you think going to happen to those who reject the new? Do you see the comparison? All right, now that you see it, now let's go to 29. All right? He said they died without mercy when they rejected Moses. What's going to happen when they reject Jesus? Look what he says in 29. Of how much sorer punishment, huh? How much sore punishment? Suppose ye shall he be thought worthy who had trodden underfoot the Son of God. He's telling us here that those that reject the old covenant is going to be far worse, a more severe punishment for those who reject and apostatize from the new covenant, right? See, a lot of people miss this. I need you to understand, Philly, that in regards to salvation, sin is sin. One sin will send you to hell. Any sin will send you to hell. It just says, for the wages of sin is death. So in regards to salvation, let's compartmentalize that. In regards to salvation, sin is what? Sin is sin. But don't let that apply to everything else. Because I need you to know that there are degrees of sin. Are you with me here so far? All right? If you lost, any sin going to send you to hell. But once you get to hell, you will be punished according to the degrees of your sin. Oh, God. Y'all ain't ready for this. There are degrees of sin. Oh, you know, let me show you in the scripture. Let me show you in the scripture. Look at John chapter 19:11. Watch what Jesus said. Would y'all believe Jesus if he said it? If Jesus said that there were degrees of sin, would you believe it? All right, so watch this. Jesus is in front of Pilate. And Pilate and Jesus having this discussion. Pilate don't want to crucify Jesus. Pilate won't let him go. But Jesus told Pilate, he says, thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from where? From above. But watch what he said here. Therefore, he that delivered me unto thee had what? Had the greater sin. Do you see the degrees of sin? If there's a greater, then there's a what? A lesser. There are degrees of sin. Now watch this. Watch this. Apostasy is one of the greatest sins on the spectrum of degrees of sin. When you're going to get that close to God, hear his gospel, hear all that he offered you for nothing, and turn your back on him, reject him, wild out, habitually sin. Hey, God, listen, that's high on the charts, yeah, y'all. That's high on the charts. Are you following me right here? You say, Pastor, it's Tuesday. Why he didn't come with a happy word? Come Sunday and I'm going to give you a happy word. I think. I don't know. I don't know. You know. But what I'm saying is, amen, not every day is a happy word. No. You know, sometimes you got to come to church and hear what you need to hear and not what you want to hear. And I'm telling you that there's somebody in here who need to hear this, who need to hear that I will be held accountable, amen, for being in this place, learning all of this truth, and then turning my back and going to do something else. All right? Apostasy is high on the charts when we talk about the degrees of sin. This is why the writer of Hebrews says, for how much sorer punishment. See, they got punished back then for turning their back on Moses, but watch the degree. How much sorer punishment? Because just like I told you that there's degrees of sin, there's degrees of punishment. Ooh! Oh, God. The greater the sin, Philly, study with me, the greater the punishment. The greater the sin, the greater the what? The punishment. And that's why Jesus says, listen, he said, hey, he that delivered me unto you, he said, that's the one that's got the greater sin. All right? Now stay with me for a second here. We're going to do just that point. We're going over some theology. Somebody say theology. All right? Why is turning my back on the new covenant, the New Testament, after I understand the cross, after I understand the blood, after I sing about it with Brian in church, huh? Why is that a great sin that deserves great punishment? I'll give you two reasons. Number one, because you're sinning against grace. And number two, because you're sinning against light. You're sinning against grace, and you're sinning against light. This is going to bless you this week. When the devil and your friends going to try to tempt you, you're going to say, not today, devil. Not today. Not today. After this word right here, you're going to be like, not today, devil. The girl going to pull up to your house to pick you up. No, keep going. Keep moving. Keep it moving. You understand what I'm saying? They're going to put the jewelry or the money right there this week for you, right there. Huh? That old spirit of Achan going to want to take the wedge of gold and the Babylonian's garments. And you're going to say, devil, stop tripping. I'm not sinning against grace, and I'm not sinning against light. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. All right. You see, grace is unmerited favor. Is when God gives you something you don't deserve anyway. So when you sin against grace, it means that God gave you something that you was not worthy of. But you're going to still spit in God's face. The Bible right here say trodden underfoot. You're going to trample God's grace. Now you didn't deserve it anyway. All right? And when he give it to you, you're going to continue to wild out. You're going to abuse grace. He's going to give you grace in vain. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. You're going to take Romans 6 where Paul said, shall we continue to sin that grace may abound? Paul says, God forbid. Don't ever sin against grace. Certainly not. May it never be. Don't sin against grace. Watch this, man. That'd be like you take somebody that's homeless. No job. Dirty, wearing clothes for a month, and you bring them into your beautiful new place. Huh? They don't deserve to be there. They're not paying no bills. You bring them in there, you get them cleaned up. Get them a nice fade. You call one of the barbers in here, cool, hallelujah, one of them barbers, cool, look, come do this, man. They get them cleaned up. You buy them some clothes, amen. Huh? They coming out there, man, they got shoes on. They got a cut. They looking good. Amen. Everything is looking good. You get them some jewelry, watch, everything. You not only clean them up, you clothe them. You put cologne on them. You give them their own room. You tell them that they got right to move about the house, in the house, amen, in the refrigerator, amen. Go out there, fix themselves coffee, amen. They could do anything they want in your house because you've given them grace. Now, what if one day you come home? Watch me now, man. This person don't deserve to be in your house. You come home, and they done busted your windows, broke your refrigerator, set your clothes on fire. Hallelujah. They done took off, amen, the clean garments you done put on them. They back in their homeless garments and got all their other homeless friends up in there, and they having a homeless bonfire in your living room. They cutting up. That just came out of me, y'all. I don't know what happened. Somebody say bonfire. Now, I'm going to switch gears. Billy Clay, what would you do to a person that do that to you? Don't say it out loud. But listen. That's when you take advantage of grace. God bless the truth. That's when you take advantage of grace. All right? All right? And it's different if a stranger just came and busted your windows and messed up your house. But you would look at him and say, man, I gave you so much. When I passed by and saw thee in thy blood, I said unto thee, live. Anybody hear me up in here? You're sinning against grace. I gave you a second chance. I gave you a third chance. I took you out of that hospital. I took you from them prison bars. I delivered you from, hallelujah, all your troubles. And you're going to do me. It's an aggravation of the crime. You see, in the law, oh, God, watch me here. There's aggravations of crime. See, it's hard for Christians to understand degrees of sin, but we go to court and we understand degrees of crimes. You understand what I'm saying? You got negligent homicide. You got vehicular homicide. You got second-degree murder. You got first-degree murder. There are degrees of crimes, and with those degrees of crimes, you got degrees of punishment that associate with the crimes. The severe the crime, the severe the punishment. Apostasy, knowing God that good and tasting his grace and spitting in his face is an aggravation of a crime, right? Because you're sinning against grace. Now the next one, watch this, Brandon, Mark. Sinning against the light. This is what scares me. Ooh, I shake and shiver. I say, Lord, please. Pastor, what's the light? The light is the opposite of the darkness. You see, people that's blind, amen, they do all kind of stuff. You let a blind man get away with all kind of stuff. Blind man come there, fall on you, grab you and all that. You, oh, you blind, don't worry about that. You let somebody can see fall on you and touch you. You know what I mean? Boy, get off of me, boy. Why? Because he blind. The person that's the apostate is not blind because they see. They know right from wrong. Jesus had front on the Pharisees. Y'all remember the scripture? He said, if the blind lead the blind, both gonna fall into a ditch. The boy tried to boot up on Jesus. You calling us blind. And Jesus said, boy, if you had any sense, you would want to be blind. But now you say that you see? Okay, well, we're gonna deal with you like you see. Because if you're doing all this and you can see, sinning against light. Brother Hill, look, man. We know too much. That's what scared me. You see, when a situation happened to me, done it, I just can't say I didn't know. You know too much. We walk in that situation, and we know exactly what's going on. We know too much. Sometimes you'd be like, Lord, I wish I didn't know. Look at your neighbor and say, you know too much. You know way too much. Misha? Oh, yeah. You know too much. See, the mother people are ignorant. They do what you can expect. You know what I'm saying? But look where you at. Look how much study of the word you get. You in church some 50 weekends out of the year. You get an hour, and I'm feeling good. It might be an hour and a half. Anybody hear me up in here? They're saying, Lord, let it not be an hour and a half today. Listen. Somebody say, sinning against the light. Let me show you a scripture. Come on, we're about done. When you sin against the light, it aggravates the sin. It makes it worse. Because you knew better. That's why God was so hard on David. Dave, don't. You knew better, Dave. That's why he was so hard on Moses. We look at that, Mr. Denise, we say, he just hit a rock, and God, you're not going. You know better. I'm looking at you in here. You know what I'm telling you? This section right here. You know better. I'm looking at you here. This section right here. Guess what? You know better. I'm looking at you right here, right here. The mother people, they don't know better. You know better. Oh, wait, I ain't finished with y'all yet. This section right here. Well, some of y'all, I'm joking, all of y'all. But Pastor, the mother was doing, them people on TV, they do it. My friends at school, they, but what I'm saying to you, you know better. Keep it short. You know better. This group, woo-hoo! You know better. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. Hey! Luke 12:43. Let me read that with y'all. We're going to get out of here. I'm telling you. But it's important. I'm telling you, you won't touch it tomorrow. You won't touch it tomorrow. You're going to be good. For the rest of the week, you're going to meet me on Sunday, you're going to say, Pastor, I was good. I was good. I was so good. Because there's going to be a word in this sermon you're going to leave with. It might be you know better. It's going to ring in your spirit. It might be against grace, centered against grace. It's going to ring in your spirit. You know what I'm saying? It might be getting beyond the point of being saved. It's going to ring in your spirit. All right? But in Luke 12, 43, this was a beautiful parable that I put down one day, and I wrote it, and I gave it to some church leaders. It just, listen, blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Doing what? Doing what he's supposed to do. Of a truth I say unto you, that he will make him ruler over all that he has. But 45. But, and if that servant say in his heart, my Lord delayed his coming, the Lord not coming back so soon, and shall begin to beat the men servants, the maidens, and to eat and drink, and to be drunken. Come on, y'all, let's cut up. He ain't coming back soon. He gonna be late. 46. The Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in sunder, and will appoint him his portions with the unbelievers. Now, this is interesting. Now, he gonna cut him asunder. Now, that should be over after you cut somebody in half. But that's why the Bible says, don't fear the one who can just kill the body. Fear the one who could kill the body, and after he done killed the body, he'll throw the soul into hell. This is what happens here. He cut his body asunder and then appointed him his portion with what? With the unbelievers. But this is where we want to be. 47. And that servant which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. It's a greater sin when you know. He knew it, and he shall be beaten with what? Many stripes. Now watch this other one. But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes, they didn't know, but they did the same thing, right? All right? They shall be beaten. Now, don't get me wrong. They're going to get theirs too. But watch this. With what? With few stripes. Do you see the degrees? Well, why are they going to be beaten with more stripes? Because they were sinning against the light. They knew better. All right? Well, what is the principle that we should hold on to? We quote this scripture all the time, but we take it out of context. But this is what he's talking about. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall much be required. You pray for revelation. You pray to know the word. You pray to get these sermons. You pray to be in a good church. Guess what? To whom much is given, much is required. Anybody hear me up in here? And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. If I've given you a lot, God says, I'm going to ask a lot from you. Ooh. And listen, I can speak it for myself and all the teachers up in here. Listen, that's why the Bible says in James, let not many desire to be teachers. People up there saying, whew, thank you, Jesus. But don't worry about that, because you're in a teaching ministry. You're in a ministry that's expounding the truth. You can't go to God and say you didn't know. God's going to turn you to the sermon. Remember in April 26, 19, you know what I'm saying? Well, not 19, 2000. To whom much is given what? Go back to John 19, 11, and we're getting out of here. This is why Jesus said this to Pilate. He said, therefore, he that delivered me unto you had the greater sin? Who delivered Jesus? Did Judas know who Jesus was? Did he see the power? Did he see the miracles? Did he see the signs and wonders? So he was sinning against light. And since he was sinning against light, it was a greater sin, he says. It was a greater sin, which would receive a greater punishment. The apostate, huh? The apostate will have a certain doom, saints. A certain doom, amen, of a terrible expectation. A certain doom of a judgment before a terrible God. And a certain doom of fiery indignation. We must keep ourselves young. Keep ourselves sensitive to the Holy Ghost. We cannot take God's word, his light, nor his grace for granted. If you're sitting in here and you find yourself growing cold, go on a fast. If you find your heart getting stone cold, ask God, what is the reason? Have I been offended? Do I need to get right? You do not want to be in the woods during a fire and not feeling the heat. Anybody hear me up in here? All right? Because it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. We give you praise for this word on apostasy, God. Because we living in a day where so many believers, God, are leaving the faith. They leaving it for the world. They leaving it for sin. We even have some Hebrews leaving the faith and the new covenant, and they leaving it, God, for the old covenant. And God, I would say that falls into the category of an apostate, God. To know the truth, to know grace, to know the gospel, and turn our backs on Yahshua HaMashiach. Help us, O King, not to spit in the face of our Savior. Help us, God, not to trod and trample him under our feet. Help us to appreciate him and keep our hearts malleable to his hands and to his word. And Father, we pray that you would do it, King. You would do it. In Yahshua Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Come on, give God some glory. Give him some glory, saints. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen, we're going to pray, man, and we're going to get out of here. Amen. Some people say, man, I came and I got convicted. And I say, good, 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 good. Conviction is good. Condemnation is bad, but conviction is good. And if you're here, you want to make sure that you're sure that you're sure that you're saved. You don't want to play no games coming in and out of here and having it close as your lips, but never getting it. Having the person on the side of you get saved. Heaven come down and touch them on the seat next to you and miss you. Let's fix that tonight. I want you to close your eyes right where you are and don't worry about anybody or anything. We have to get this right. Just close your eyes. Just close your eyes. And imagine yourself before the living God. I want you to say, God, forgive me. I've sinned against you. I'm a sinner. But you love me. And you came to save sinners. Now, Lord, save me and forgive me, please. I don't want to come this close and miss it. Save me. I surrender everything to you. I give it all to you. I believe everything you say in your Bible, especially that you died on the cross You were buried in the grave. And on the third day, you rose. I give my heart to you, my soul to you, my future, my present, and my past. I withhold nothing. Save me and use me in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Woo! Be pleased, Father. 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 We're going to go to heaven together. Hallelujah. When we get up there, we're going to be up there. Amen. We might have a Philly service up there. Amen. Hallelujah. We're going to see Hallelujah, the Chassons out there. We're going to all be up there. Amen. And y'all going to tell me, oh, come up, Pastor. This is the service I got saved. And that is the service I got saved. And I gave my life. And I wasn't praying around. And you was real. And everybody was doing their thing. And hallelujah, we gave it all for God. We're going to be up there. We'll be up there together. May the Lord bless you. May he keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you. May he be gracious unto you. Lift up his countenance upon you and bless you with peace. Shalom, shalom, shalom. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Love y'all, saints. Be blessed.